This is your NPR news station, 90.3 WBHM and 91.5 WSGN. I'm Andrew Yeager. 2 years ago, something simple but pretty significant happened in Alabama Governor Robert Bentley's office. The governor asked his staff to sign non-disclosure agreements. More than 80 staffers did, but one who didn't was Rebecca Mason. She's the former political aide Bentley's accused of having an affair with. And they're the latest details in the scandal surrounding the governor. And here to piece through them is Alabama Media Group columnist John Archibald. He joins us most Thursdays to talk politics. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Andrew.
So this was August 2014. What prompted this non-disclosure agreement?
Obviously, this had come right after the events in which he has now owned up to, and as far as the conversations with Rebecca Caldwell Mason that had been recorded, and we believe he had understood that there was perhaps somebody out there looking into these things. I had written stories about the great amount of overtime his executive security officers had and the flights he was taking on the planes, which apparently hit home in the office in some way that caused him to get nervous. So on the day that came out is when he and Seth Hammett, his then chief of staff, began to ask employees to sign these agreements.
The governor's office, I should say, says that this timing was coincidental. But what did this agreement consist of?
Well, it basically said anything you learn in the governor's office is privileged, and you can't repeat it. You can't take data. You can't take basically anything from that office ever and use it or release it or let it be known.
Does this have the force of law?
Well, in the sense that it's a signed agreement, I suppose you can argue that it does. Of course, you can also argue that Alabama public records law comes into play, and you know, we know that anybody in possession of public information, you know, is bound to release it.
One key detail in all of this is that senior political advisor Rebecca Mason did not sign a non-disclosure agreement. She's the one that the governor said he had inappropriate conversations with. There are these recordings that point to an affair. What do you make of the fact that she's one that didn't sign this?
Well, I think it's ridiculous. The governor's office says she didn't sign it because she was on the campaign at the time, and when she came over, she wasn't asked to sign one. Of course, there are other people, Zach Lee being one of them, who was also on the campaign at the time, but when he came over, was asked to sign it. The question is not where they were working at the time. The question was the confidentiality, and she was not asked to sign. You can make of that what you will.
Yeah, well, one interesting twist to this, and you referred to him earlier, is about Ray Lewis. He was the former head of the governor's security. And just explain how the thinking about him has changed as the story has evolved.
Well, when I look back on it, he was sort of that piece that started it all in a lot of ways. He was a security officer who was making twice his salary in overtime. He was flying everywhere with the governor. Really what grabbed my attention in the first place. He has since left. He was moved out after those stories, basically. But he has remained sort of loyal to the governor's wife, we understand. And he is the key figure, and he's the one that most of the investigators want to talk to now. If you were to ask me, I would say he may have looked like a bad guy in the first place. He looks a lot less like a bad guy now.
Well, also this morning, to say the Birmingham City Council and Mayor William Bell have a fractured relationship has become quite an understatement. The latest flashpoint here is actually about the councilor's office spaces. And John, just recount what happened for us here. This was after Council President Jonathan Austin was reelected to his position last week.
Right. He was made to run again because of the legislature in a bill backed by the mayor. A lot of anger. So he won 5-4. He basically punished the four. Said, you got to move. You got to move out of your offices. We're going to move other people into your offices. The offices have traditionally been handed out by seniority. So some of the council members who were there longest were a little bit upset about that. Kim Rafferty and Valerie Abbott said, no, we're not going to move. And ultimately, last night, Austin relented, said great leaders move forward or something of that, they didn't have to move.
Is this just unicorns, kumbaya, and everything's great now?
It is not great. There is a lot of animosity still. It's a divided council. It's a city hall in turmoil, still fighting between the mayor and the council president. Honestly, I've covered city hall for 30 years in one way or another, and I've never seen anything quite like it, and that is a very large statement.
Well, I want to ask about one specific thing that came out in the midst of this, and that's the accusation from Jonathan Austin that the mayor's office was using a criminal database and running his name through that. What is that about?
That allegation has been made that the head of security for the mayor went over and asked for it to be done. The chief of police says it was asked. He wouldn't identify who asked it. He said that nobody actually ran an NCIC on him, which would be a federal offense, and that procedures actually stopped that from happening. It doesn't appear that anyone was disciplined in that, and that's a big deal. I mean, you go around trying to run people through federal databases illegally, it's a problem, and you can understand why Jonathan Austin would be angry.
John, thanks for coming by.
Thank you.